Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. My name is Charlie Stecker, and I will be your host this evening for what is our Wednesday night special guest edition show. If you have never heard what any of our shows, I want to inform you as to what exactly we do this evening. We have a special guest ready to share their story in whatever way they want to and in their timing. We will have people calling in to create a panel. And we ask when you do call in, and we bring you on about every 15 or 20 minutes, depending on how the flow of the show goes with our special guest, we'll bring you on live on air, and you'll have an opportunity to interact with our special guest. I do ask that when you do that, your interactions are focused around the special guest's story. I say that because there are many times, and I am guilty of this myself, where we get caught up in our stories, which may have some parallels, and that's nice, but sometimes we get caught up in our stories and we forget that tonight is about our special guest story or whatever it is they wanted to share with us. So that's just a gentle reminder for all of us, including myself. Again, thank you so much to our special guest for calling in or for being here this evening and for calling into the show and being ready to go so promptly. Before we go into introducing the special guest, I do have to do some more quick housekeeping as far as what NASCA is about. So I'll share NASCA's mission statement with you. We here at NASCA have a single purpose, and that is to address the issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with two goals in mind. The first is educating the public, which is especially related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. We also abbreviate CSA, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And our second goal is to offer hope and healing through numerous paths, one of them being this show, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. I will encourage anyone that listens to the show to please check out our website, NASCA, NAASCA.org. Mm-hmm. And on that, you will find much information, many resources, including a Zoom meeting that's held 3 days a week, midday. And I truly appreciate you taking that time. Hey, and if you want to come on to the show and you've never been on the show before and you'd like to have your story heard, or maybe you have and you want to come back on, please go on the website. You'll see an area where it talks about the open dates for shows and how to schedule and who to contact. We would absolutely love to have you and look forward to that possibility of you sharing your story with us. So with all that housework being taken care of and our special guest patiently waiting, I will tell you we are building up quite the panel already. I do see we have a couple of call-ins that are listen only at the moment, which is wonderful. I thank you so much for those of you who are calling in to listen. And what that is, Dr. Wanda McKinley, who's our special guest. I let her name out of the bag right now to explain to her. I encourage people to call in that may have never called in before and may have never had their voice heard before. And if they call in and not ready to be heard on the air, I encourage them just to at least call in and make that next step. So that next step to calling in is actually perhaps having their voice heard on the air when they're ready. My amazing co-host, Penelope, will be periodically checking with those folks to see if they are ready to want to come on tonight. And if not, that's okay. Again, thank you so much to our two panelists this evening that we have that are calling in on listen only. I truly appreciate you. I will not announce your names out of respect for you. When and if you are ready, we are here for you. So let's go on. Let's get Dr. Wanda McKinley on air here. Just let me do a quick few lines about her, and the rest I'll let her take over. Dr. Wanda McKinley happens to be from Dallas, Texas. She's the founder and CEO of We Are Survivors Foundation, called We Are Survivors Foundation. It is an international nonprofit organization for abused men, women, and children. Wanda was a victim of abuse for 24 consecutive years. Her biological father began to molest her as early as the age of 6. Then at the age of 13, her biological father and stepfather raped her. Oh my goodness. Until the age of 18. With her ex-husband, from the age of 19, she endured physical, mental, verbal, sexual, and financial abuse until she finally found the strength to leave at the age of 31. Due to the trauma that she experienced, she began to become an example for others. Today, Wanda is a best-selling author, the recipient of an International Humanitarian Award. She's a 2016 Advocate of the Year for Domestic Violence and a strong domestic and international speaker. Wanda most recently received an honorary doctorate degree in social advocacy. Matter of fact, it was this year in 2020, due to her work in the States and internationally, and also has a television show titled We Are Survivors. Folks, I am going to stop there because I want to get Dr. McKinley on air here. She has been so patient to be waiting, and she has so much more to share with us. I just know it. So let's get her on air. Good evening, Dr. McKinley. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am too blessed to be stressed and too highly favored to be wavered.
I second that.
I agree, right? I say I get knocked around because that's what life does to us, but I never get knocked off track. So, well, welcome. And what a powerful testimony I have of what I just read. I couldn't imagine what we're going to hear. I do want to say this. I preface this show with this a lot, is that I'm really happy to hear you're still here. I'm really excited you're here. You know, there's me that says, boy, I really wish we didn't have to have you here. I really wish there wasn't a need. I really wish that one day we could go look for somebody to be on the show. And like, we can't find anybody because we're getting less and less of adults surviving child abuse because we're slowing child abuse. But we don't have that yet. So in the meantime, we have folks like yourself, myself, and many other NAMHSA family members, which you are a member of, if you aren't aware of already, out here doing what we do. So Wanda, do you prefer Wanda, Dr. McKinley? What would you prefer? What are you comfortable with?
Wanda is fine.
All right, Wanda. Well, Wanda, I'm just going to go ahead and try to be quiet, which is a tough beat for me, I guess. And I'm going to let you take over the mic. If you need my assistance anywhere along the way, I am here. We're all going to stop about every 15, 20 minutes to afford our panelists the time to have a bit of interaction with you.
Yeah, and it is an honor to be on the show, and it's—I think it's an unfortunate, but unfortunate thing, because I am a survivor. But the fact of the matter is, I am a survivor. My story starts off as—I know it actually happened before the age of 6. It's just that that is the age that's stamped in my head because that is the age my mother walked in on my father on top of me. So because of that night, that incident, that age is what I remember. And because of my walk, I do understand that that was not his first. That was just when he became more comfortable, because my younger sister was actually in a twin bed right next to me. So she was asleep. So he had done this several times before. That just so happened to be the night he got caught. Well, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. So my father's in the military, and that night we packed up and we left. But my father knew that my mom would be back because he supported the family. And my grandmother, I'm 48 now, I just turned 48 on Halloween. So my grandmother back then, in that time era, they just really tried to keep it quiet, keep me busy, and just make sure I stayed active. And with that came the beauty pageants, and my grandmother had me modeling. So we did a lot of that to try to keep me busy. That was my grandmother's way of trying to keep me away from her son. My mom, of course, moved back in with my father, and so the child abuse and the molestation continued. Finally, my mom and dad got their third and final divorce. People are like, what? They were married, and yes, my mom and dad divorced for the third final time. When I got in seventh grade, and we moved back to Texas. And my mother met another guy shortly thereafter who was 10 years younger than her and 10 years older than me. I guess they had probably been dating about a year, and the discussion of marriage came about. Well, this particular evening, my mother was sitting on the floor. He was on the floor, and I was laying across the bed, and we were in their bedroom watching TV. And they were openly discussing about the marriage and making wedding plans. And this man told my mom that he didn't want to marry her. He wanted to marry me. My mother didn't address it. Yes, he didn't say anything. I'm in seventh grade at this time. She didn't say anything to him. She just kept talking as if he hadn't said anything. So probably 6 months to a year after that, because one thing about us when we're in that state and going through what we go through, time really escapes us. But I do know before I turned 13 years old, he did become my stepfather, and he raped me. The night he raped me, my younger sister is 2 years younger than me. I have a little brother. We're about 9 years apart. They slept in the other room. And I didn't want to awaken them because I didn't want to put them in danger. As the oldest, I've always protected my younger siblings. And so he raped me, and as I lay there in my blood, he kissed me on my forehead and then told me to get up and clean myself up. I never told my mom, so living in the house with him, when my mom would go to work, then it was like I became my mother to him. And the rape continued. Now, my father moved back to San Antonio, where we are originally from, but we moved here to the Dallas area. So every year for my birthday, my father would fly me home. And being born on Halloween, I've always had the grand and the huge birthday parties. And I've always been showered with gifts. And I think now as an adult, I realize because of what I was going through. That was just kind of, this was a way to hush me up because my father has always spoiled me. And this particular year, when I turned 13, I flew home, and after I went on a shopping spree and got everything that I wanted that my dad allowed me to have, my dad said, "I have one more gift for you." And I was, of course, excited. But my father told me that he wanted to be my first sexual partner, not knowing my stepfather had already raped me.
Oh my God.
My biological father raped me as a birthday gift, thinking that he was my first. So from the age of 13 to 18, I was raped by my biological father and my stepfather. So not only being molested as early as the age of 6 up until I was 12, but then I was raped, and then that started leading into the age of 18. Well, then I met my ex-husband. Now, in between the stepfather and the biological father, and with me living with my stepfather and having to drive to the store with him, performing oral sex while he's driving, to just whenever he felt like he wanted to have sex, when it was just when my mom was gone, then it would happen, to being a freshman in high school and being raped by a senior football player who gave me gonorrhea, to when I met my ex-husband at 19, that led into, we were very promiscuous, so we had sex wherever, because for me, that's how I was groomed and taught up. And I tell people a lot of times, as victims of abuse or sex trafficking, we are so molded and trained and programmed to accept what's happening, and or some people just go into survival mode, and we have to do whatever we have to do at that moment to make it through that scenario. So when I met my ex-husband, became pregnant, probably like a year in of us dating, and I didn't meet his parents until I was like 4 months pregnant. I talked to school, I explained to the girls, it's very important to see where the man comes from, how his parents interact with one another, how he interacts with his parents. Because the first time I met his parents, his mom got mad at his dad and started hitting him in the head. Well, for me, that was a red flag and a trigger because of what I had already gone through. But I was already pregnant. So I think for me, that was like my first warning sign. So to make the marriage long story short, because we were going from the age of 19 to 31, my ex-husband has busted my eardrum, has raped me, has brought his girlfriend over to stay months at a time, and I would sleep on the floor, to him giving me STDs. So my why, my final reasoning at the age of 31 to leave that this life was my daughter. I have a daughter that's actually graduating next Saturday with her master's in education.
Wonderful.
I attended, yes, thank you, that I attended when I was 16 years old. So she was my why. I didn't want her to be in that type of environment and feel that that was okay and that was normal. So for me, I had to break that cycle for my daughter. Because I've also found out that my dad was abusing my mom since I started my nonprofit organization and became transparent, because me and my mother were arch enemies. We used to fist fight. So it's just it's a lot that I've gone through and have overcome.
And look at where you are today. Wow.
Yes.
Amazing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just, what you've really shared so much with us already, and it's just like to read what I've read already about you while you've been talking, Wanda. I have been perusing your Facebook page and your We Are Survivors Foundation, and I will say that we're not here tonight by any accident. You are with family here. You are around people who care, and your logo. You have been checked out from Last Survivor. First of all, it's my favorite color, purple. Secondly, I'm not going to tell you what the logo is, but I want you to go take a look at it. What an amazing creative logo! I mean, it's really neat. But you, and you say this, Wanda, and I say this what's the word I'm looking for here? You're a beautiful human being, both in speaking and in visual. And to know what you've gone through, the Christians have gone through, what you've shared with us so far, and to see the trajectory you've taken in your life, round of applause to you. Wow, just incredible. And I truly appreciate you, and I'm honored to, I'm blessed to be able to host this evening's show and, be the person that's walking through this with you as you share it this evening.
It's just, I just thank you, because for me, anytime that I can be transparent and share my story, hopefully just if one person is touched, then I'm doing what God has me to do. And that just shows that I just believe that he chooses some of us to go through what we go through so that we can lead his children back to him. And I know people always ask me, how did you make it? How did you do it? And I only have one word, and that's God. I mean, that's it.
Hello.
Because hello. I just get, when I think about what I've gone through, I know that he's the only one that was there with me the whole entire time, because even family turned their back on me. And then I know friends didn't believe me. Even some of my friends that were around when my story came out, they said I was lying, because they had been around me and my father. But
right. They
were like, well, she's talking about her father, that, yes, I'm talking about that I only have one biological father. That
right.
was mine. Like, you can't make up those types of horrible things. My father would, you hear a little girl say how their father taught them how to tie their shoes. Well, my dad always told me, as long as I have what I have between my legs, I'll never be broke.
Mm.
Because I have what every man desires. So that's how I was grown. And so it amazed me that people are like, she's not telling the truth. I wish I wasn't, but I am. I'm telling my truth.
Who wants to make a story like this? I will tell you, I want to share this with you as well, and then I want to afford us an opportunity, if it's okay with you, to go through our panel. We do have quite a robust panel calling in with you. I do want to tell you, I'm blessed with a daughter as well, and it is truly a blessing, because I was not supposed to be able to have children because of some of the abuse I went through as a child. But my daughter, I asked her, unfortunately, she was raised in a broken home, but that's a story. That's my story. Where I want to correlate with your story is, you said something about going through, and I asked my daughter a few years ago, give me something you can do in childhood. And from dad, is there something that stands out to you? When she said this to me, Wanda, tears welled up in my big old tough guy eyes, because I'm not a tough guy anyway. I just look like it. And she said, Dad, if there's one thing I had to pick out, life lesson you taught me, is that I'll grow through what I go through, whether it's good or bad. The outcome of it is going to be how I react to it. And that was like, wow. I was like, well, I guess I taught you what I was supposed to. And I'm looking at you and your daughter's picture. I'm assuming this is your daughter right now. Again, I'm perusing your Facebook page. I'm not being a troll. Bailey, Bailey, who announces our shows online, tagged you and me, because we're here tonight together. So that's how I found your page rather quickly. And I do thank my co-host Penelope, our co-host, for reaching out to you prior to the show. We like to try to do that to get just to kind of break some ice so people know who we are. How do you feel about doing a round with the panelists that we have in? Are you okay with that, Wanda, or do you want to share some more?
I'm okay with the panel.
All right. And so what I do is I'm going to introduce you to who they are, where they're from, and what, if they do something with NASCAR, what it is that they do. So the first person I'm going to bring on is Pamela. She's from Louisiana. She is our ambassador for the state of Alabama. So let me go ahead and get Pamela on here. Good evening, Pamela. You are on with Wanda, and we have another person of faith with us. Pamela, are you there? You might have your mic muted.
Yeah, I'm here. I just got back.
Okay. Well, you're on live with Wanda. If you want to talk with her a few moments, we do have quite a lively panel.
Wanda.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Miss Wanda. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, Miss Wanda. I'm so happy to hear about the work you're doing, and I'm just so amazed at what the Lord is doing for you.
Thank you.
I'm just in awe. God is so good, you know.
Absolutely. Did you have anything in particular you wanted to bring up?
Did you talk about your humanitarian award yet?
No, I
have
not.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that far. We're in the first stage of the show. Did you want me to bring you back in a minute?
Okay, I just
want to
say.
Pamela, we're having a little bit of time to be talking up on your end.
What?
I'll bring you back in the next round of the panel. All right, so we're going to go, while we're down in the southern regions of the country, we're going to go to William in Alabama. William, you are on the air with Wanda.
Hello, Wanda. His story's been pretty wild, and I can understand all that. But God always has a plan for us. He uses everything for the better, for good. So I'm really glad that you guys are faithful.
Yes, God does use us for so many different things, and I do. I appreciate you even being on here showing support, because it really means a lot to, especially me, because no matter how much I talk about this or what platform I'm on, it's still heart-wrenching and emotional. So I just appreciate everybody and anyone that takes the time out to listen.
Thank you. Thank you, William, for calling in. I believe you're probably using the Skype line or something, so we are getting a little bit of an echo, but we appreciate you being here, and we'll be back to you on the next round of the panel. Next, I'm going to go to Penelope, who is our Washington State Ambassador. She's my co-host this evening, someone that will host and I co-host. There's nobody that's better than anybody here. We're all equal on the same footing. Penelope, you are on with Wanda.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. And hi, Wanda.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. I just feel like I have to take a deep breath. Just thank you for everything that you've, you know, shared in your bio and that you've, you know, already shared in the first segment of the show. And, you know, it's so heart-wrenching to hear about these things that happen. And there's certain things that you said that really just struck me. First of all, that your birthday is on Halloween. I am a fellow Scorpio. I'm November 3rd.
Yay.
But I will now not forget your birthday, because I actually don't. I only know one other person whose birthday is actually on Halloween. And I have to tell you that I felt anger at the birthday present that your father, you know, so generously chose to give you. I felt anger. And I felt anger at, you know, I understand the people that knew you and knew him, you know, while you were growing up and saw you interacting with your dad and then learned the truth as you so courageously spoke your truth later on in life, and that, you know, had a very hard time believing it. That's where my anger came in, because, you know, there's not only the hurt and injustice and the abuse from being sexually abused by your own father, but to me, you know, I don't like to compare, but when you have the courage to finally come forward to voice your truth, to tell your story, to heal, and then you have the people in your life not believing you, to me, that's hurt. You know, that mm-hmm. hurts. And I was hurting for you as you were saying that, because I understand what that's experienced that myself. And I think it's so courageous for you to come on the show and share this, all of the details of the story, because you know, every time I hear that, you know, every time I hear, I finally had the courage to voice the truth, you know, and I had, you know, whether it's family or close friends, unable to accept the truth, by you sharing that, people have to understand, you know, and you're educating that, you know, your abusers, those that molested you, they can still, you know, they can have a smile on their face, can be charismatic people, they can be contributors to society, they can mm-hmm. be loving at times, they can be all of those things, but they can still be a perpetrator. They can still be someone that abuses, and they can be all of those things. It's not either or. So I just right. want to say thank you for sharing that, because I feel like that message needs to get out there. We can speak the truth of our fathers or our stepfathers that, you know, that sexually molested us, and we can have very many, you know, we can speak the truth, we can have mixed emotions, but it doesn't diminish who they were in every capacity, but it also doesn't mm-hmm. diminish the fact that they did what they did. So
right.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah.
I had a question after all that. So did your mother ever know that this was going on before you were able to speak of it? Did your mom, I mean, I understand that your, you know, the man who became your stepfather had, you know, declared that when you were in the seventh grade that you were, if I remember correctly, that you were the one that he wished to marry instead of your mother before that marriage took place. But did your mom ever know or suspect?
With my mom, I can't say with my father. I'm not sure. But with my stepfather, there was an example. My mom's birthday is New Year's Day. We just have fabulous birthday dates. But my mom's birthday is New Year's Day. And so my stepfather had given me some money to go buy her a gift. When he gave me the money, he gave me a hug. I walked out. And it wasn't like a body, like the whole body hug. It was just like around the shoulder hug. And then I walked out of the room excited, walking towards the front door to go buy my mom a gift. And before I made it to the front door, my mother felt her like beating me in my head. So my mother had jumped on me. And at the time, of course, I had no clue what was going on. I had to defend myself. But it turns out that from that hug, and I had walked out of the room, my stepfather was erect. So my mother, instead of getting on him, my mother felt like it was my fault. I did something. I knew about it. And I had absolutely no clue. I mean, the seventh grade. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. So my mom would always say it wasn't her man, because it was a time when her boyfriends, I was sleeping on the couch, and I woke up with this tongue in my mouth. So my mom would always say it must be something I'm doing to these men. It was always my fault. My mom knew my father had treated me differently. Now, I don't know if she just put two and two together, but my father would not allow my mother to whoop me or, you know, treat me the same way the other two were treated. She could never mm-hmm. discipline me or mishandle me while he was around. But my father was in the Navy,
So my father would be gone overseas for 6 months. Well, it was hell at home with my mom because all of her anger and frustration, she took it out on me. So, you know, even though my father molested and sexually abused me, but my mother would beat me and verbally abuse me. So, depending if I think about her actions when my father left, yes, she knew. But
yeah.
She definitely
yeah.
knew about my stepfather.
Sigh. You know, I mean, I don't need to say, you know, anything to that. You know, that's painful.
Yeah.
Painful.
Oh, but my mother even thought she was getting back at me. My mother had a full-blown sexual relationship with my ex-fiancé.
Oh, my
goodness. As a way to get back at me, yes.
Yeah, and that's it right there, right? I mean, the whole theme right there is intent. You did not have the intent, right?
Right.
Every single sexual act from your father and stepfather was their act of abuse on you, right? You did not have that intent. You were a victim. And you know, your mother's actions with your ex, you know, your ex, that is intent. So, I mean, I don't need to tell you that, but it does come back down to intent. And to me, there's just a assault on your character, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's the assault, the character assault, those are the things, for me, in my own experience, you know, everything is painful, but when I think of the assault on my character, right?
Right.
Those, what you just described, those are the most enduring and penetrating wounds for me. And I hear, you know, as you speak of them, I'm just feeling that pain for you. You know, I can't speak for you, but then I feel anger, right? And it's just an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see that you've powered, and I know this is going to come up in the next segment, you've powered that anger towards really a lot of good things. So, and all that you do. Wow.
Well, thank you so much, Penelope.
Thanks, Charlie.
Absolutely. Really appreciate your interaction. We do have two panelists. As well, you know, as I told you before, we have a robust panel. We do have two panelists that are currently have themselves as listening only.
Yeah.
So I do want to acknowledge them for a moment here, just say thank you and encourage you and empower you. I will ask Penelope to go ahead and check on you from time to time to see if maybe you want to take that next step and have your publicly. If you are not ready for that, by no means any pressure to have you do that, okay? Each of our healing journeys, each of our recovery, if you want to use that word, are our own individual paths, and we are the leaders of that path, not someone else. Someone else took control of us too many times, and so I just want to encourage our two panelists who are currently listening. Penelope will be checking, and if you'd like to come on, even if you want to wait to the absolute end when we bring each panelist on to give our special guest a fine farewell, I applaud you for making that effort to call this evening. Thank you so much. So, Penelope, when you have a chance, just please check with those two. I really appreciate your assist.
Yes, I will do that right now.
Wanda, thank you so much. Wanda, we are back to you. And you know, yeah, I was thinking about, Penelope brought up something that you had said, and I was thinking about it actually, I had to pull back in my seat, and I cringed when you said it, when your father... just any man, but a father on top of that, coming to his daughter on any day, but on a special day like her birthday, and to say that, I thought of my daughter immediately, and I'm like, I couldn't even imagine even having a thought, let alone letting it come out of my mouth. Wow. What an amazing person you are. And as I know already, I've gone ahead a little bit, but I'm not going to share what I know already because I want you to share, but we know, you and I, and many of us know the power of God, and I align with what you said when people said to me, how in the heck did you get through everything you did in your childhood? And it's always my answer. God was my mom and my dad. I can tell you.
Yeah.
No, other than that, I just, you know, I learned how to persevere. So, Wanda, I want to ask you to continue on wherever it is, you know, wherever it is that you want to share with us next. If you want to continue on from where you were, the stage is yours, the floor is yours.
Well, I'm going to just pick up what I was speaking about and talking about God. A lot of people that I've come across, I think, have a misconception of the nonprofit organization. And a lot of people see the Facebook pictures and the events, and they're unaware of the long nights of the crying and the suicidal ideations and just the constant question of why me. And my organization, We Are Survivors, was formed and born because God told me to be transparent. There's no way that I would have on my own said, okay, I'm going to talk about my family secrets. My little sister, who is my best friend, once I came out and started telling my truth, immediately sided with our father, because we all have the same mom and dad, and she sided with our father and called me a liar. And I have not talked to my sister or my father, and it was 6 years last month. My sister even told me that I can be standing on the side of the road on fire, and she would not even spit on me to put me out. Mind you,
wow.
We were inseparable. But my father, being the manipulator that he is, he never paid attention to my sister when my mouth was closed. As soon as I began to speak our truth, then he started to show her favoritism, which is what my sister desired. And now that she has sexual attention, they don't speak. So now, because of me telling my truth, my family is divided. So my mom and my dad were cordial, but now it's me, my brother, and my mother, because my mother and I have mended our relationship through forgiveness and prayer, lots of prayer. And then my sister and my father are on the other spectrum. So we're a divided family because of what happened within behind our closed doors. But one day I was watching Joyce Myers, and got out to prepare myself for bed. And all of a sudden, because I remember going through the abuse that I went through. When you talk to a lot of survivors, a lot of times they can't recall the pain and the trauma. Like, they know certain events happened, but a lot of times the mind will block that trauma. So it's really hard. You know something happened, but it's really hard to happen. It's like the first time my father raped me, I can visually see, him on top of me. Like, that's my memory. I'm literally, my spirit and my soul is above his body. Like, I have left. I have disassociated myself from what is happening. And my memory is me floating above my father. So all I see is his backside raping me. I don't see his face, but I don't see any of that. I just see his backside, because I disassociated. I removed myself from what was happening. So for me, when people ask me about what happened, a lot of times the pain and the hurt, I didn't feel it at that moment. I didn't feel it when it was happening, because I always disassociated myself from it. So I couldn't tell you about the pain and the hurt. The night God came to me and told me my purpose in life was to be transparent and to tell my story, that night is when God allowed me to feel all of what he protected me from. And when I say I fell on the floor, balled up in a fetal position, and I cry because it hurt so
bad. Then I became angry. So it was like all of what he protected me from as a child and even as an adult, he allowed me to feel. You have to be able to feel and understand to go out and help my people. So for me to feel, I know what it feels like. I know the hurt. I know the pain. I know the anger. I know all of those emotions, whereas before I had never felt them. I just never felt them. So being transparent and telling my story, I kept had this conversation with God back and forth, like, are you really want me to do what? I'm not getting ready to tell my business. But it's, go ahead.
No.
I was agreeing.
I apologize. When we speak here, I apologize for that. But I was just agreeing, listening to you. Wow. There's so many. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was going to say, so when I actually agreed, because we kind of went back and forth, me and God, because I just, you know, we're taught that no one's going to believe you. We're taught that you should be ashamed. We talk so many negative things when it comes to being the victim as if we asked for that. So I had to fight through that, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust and believe in you. And since then, I did my own 501c3, which a lot of people was like, it costs a lot of money, it's going to take you a very long time. I did my own. And I had the piece of paper from the IRS in my hand physically in less than 2 weeks. In less than 2 weeks, I had it. From the time I submitted it, filed it, I received it in less than 2 weeks. So that for me was like, okay, I know God is with me now, so I'm just going to go. Now, I received a phone call from a young lady in Finland, and she was like, Wanda, I need you to come out here and speak. And I was like, I don't know you, and there's no way on God's green earth I'm going to fly all the way to Finland from Dallas, Texas. I'm not getting ready to do that. And
right.
Her and I went back and forth. So she was like, I'm going to pay for you to come out. And I was like, it doesn't matter. I'm not coming out. There's no way. She says, well, what if I pay for you and a guest? What? She said, I'm willing to pay for you and a guest and put you up and your guest for 2 weeks. I need you to come to Finland and speak. So,
wow.
So I prayed to God. God said, go. So me and a guest flew to Finland. So when we got to Finland, all the way from Dallas, Texas, flew to Finland. It was amazing. When we got in her car, her and her husband picked us up. She had Jesus stenciled inside of her car and his pictures everywhere. I knew I was safe. And me and that woman now have traveled to Finland, London, Germany, Africa. We're supposed to be in Dubai this year, but of course COVID changed all of that. But just that stepping out on faith, God has opened so many doors, and her story is so similar to mine. It's so many of us out there that can help others, because there are some people that are in these dark spaces and feels like no one cares. And unfortunately, that person believes what their abuser tells them. And I just want to be that person for other people to let them know that I have gone through some things, and I do not look like what I've been through, nor do I act like it. And for me, my story, me and my mother, my mom, first time I heard my mom say, I love you, I was in my mid-30s, and I hung the phone up in her face. I didn't know from her. I didn't know what that meant. Like, what did she just say to me? It felt so forced faith, and it was just like it wasn't real. But now, because of prayer and because my mother literally in church, like just in front, which to me at the time was embarrassing, because I was like, really, right now, what you can really do, just cried out for forgiveness. it still took me some time to receive it. But my mom asked for forgiveness for her wrongdoings.
Wow.
It's just, yes. And for me, I tell survivors and victims that as long as you hold that in your spirit, in your heart, if you don't forgive, they still control you. They're still abusing you. And when I speak, I tell women all over the world, when that person is no longer physically in your life, if they've gone on, they're doing something different, they're probably not even thinking about you. But what we're doing, we're holding on to that. We're holding on to that pain. We're holding on to that anger. We've got to learn how to forgive. We'll never forget, but we've got to be able to forgive, because forgiving is part of healing. And when we do that, we release that. We're releasing that person from that grip, from that hold that they have on us.
Absolutely. Lord, we're having some church up in here. Come on.
And it's just, I also let individuals know it's okay to have those moments of weakness. I haven't seen my stepfather since I was 18 years old. So, of course, it was 30 years ago. He actually found my nonprofit phone number. And about 3 years ago, called me out of the blue. And I literally became that 12-year-old girl all over again. And I was on the phone with this man for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
2 hours and 45 minutes. And this man told me that he still has the panties from that night that he raped me. He still has them. He has contemplated several times kidnapping me. He actually went and told me, congratulated me on all the things that I've accomplished. And I'm like, dude, I'm like literally talking about you. Really? So I know he's watching me. I don't know from what platform. I have no clue. But the conversation went on for almost 3 hours. And the part that, I don't know if it was because he talked to me, the phone call, the all the minutes that we were on, or the fact that at the end of a phone conversation, he says, I love you. And that 12-year-old girl said, I love you back. And I remember feeling great all over again, and the pain and the crying, and I couldn't even get out of my car. I was like in my car for almost 2 hours, just crying. I was just like having a meltdown. And the great thing about support groups, normally I am the facilitator of our support groups. The next meeting we had, I became the client, and my support group, they were my facilitators, because at that moment I needed to switch roles, because I needed to tell somebody how I was feeling and what happened and what occurred, and not feel guilty and not feel ashamed, because it happened. And a lot of times we as survivors don't want to acknowledge those moments where we actually, those triggers, and we go back to that space. And that happened to me, and it was extremely painful, but I had to acknowledge that it happened to me, and I had to talk to someone that I can trust and that supported me, which is the support group that I facilitated. So you just never know who's going to be that person that's going to help you. And I just think, I tell people all the time to keep an open mind about your feelings and your emotions, and it's okay to express. It's better to express and talk about it. I'm also a behavioral modification strategist. And what that means is, with me having degrees in psychology and clinical mental health, you think about reprogramming your mind and how we think and turning a negative thought into something positive and just keeping us motivated and always focusing on the silver lining. Now, is that always going to be possible? Absolutely not. But we also know that there's going to be a better day, better time, and we just keep pressing forward, especially with survivors, because we've made it through it. And there are so many people that didn't survive what we survived. So there's a reason why we're still here.
Absolutely. And there's a gentleman that I've been blessed to interact with that gave me a one-word description of what you and I and many others of us in the national or of adult survivors of child abuse, because, you know, I've always struggled with having, first of all, I'm not a title person. I don't tend to like to have a title put on me. But at the same time, I've always struggled with some sort of identity, because I kept saying, man, call me a survivor, calling any of us a survivor, it kind of keeps me still in the victimhood, because we were already surviving. We were in the midst of being victimized. So aren't we more than mm-hmm. that? And then we use words like overcomer and thriving and victor and warrior. And this is the word he gave me. And I want to share it with you. It resonates you all around it. And it's definitely God in it. And the word is transcender. You have transcended what has happened. And if you don't know, I imagine from your education level, you know the meaning of that word, but that mm-hmm. was so powerful. So I'm going to tell you, Wanda, to me tonight, I am speaking to a fellow transcender. And I'm so honored to be part of this process with you this evening. Wow.
I'm glad that I was asked to speak. It's, like I said, it's always an honor to be able to share my story, just because I want to help as many people as possible, whether they're little girls, little boys, or adults. I think it's necessary, especially because some people's stories don't span over consecutive years. And mine was nonstop, to the point I had learned how to isolate myself. And I was okay with not having friends. Literally, I just started interacting with people since my nonprofit, because that was one of my things with God. I'm like, you want me to start dealing with people? You want me to start talking to women? Like, why would I want to do that? I was good in my shell.
Right.
I was good being by myself, because the two people that were supposed to protect me the most were the two that hurt me the most, my parents. So now you
right.
want me to trust a stranger? Like, that, to me, that was the craziest thing ever. I was good at being a loner. And then here, I'm in high school, I'm a drill team. Yeah, I'm still a loner. I didn't hang out with the drill team, football team, actually. I did what I was supposed to do, and then I went into my little space. But now,
like that, I'm with you.
Yeah. Now I'm, you know, get the opportunity to speak, I'm going to speak. I've had an opportunity of actually being in a non-scripted play. It was a play that was kind of focused on bits and pieces of my story, and it was called Scarred for Life. And the play was about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it was unscripted. It was powerful, and it was amazing. To the point now
no.
they're talking about turning it into a movie. But it was just amazing that the entire staff was a survivor of domestic violence. But the guy that actually played my husband in the play actually was the abuser in real life and not a survivor.
Wow. So it was an abuser that went about turning his life around, I'm guessing, and
yes.
Wow. That's huge. That's incredibly powerful. We have definitely got to connect off air if that would be something you're comfortable with at that point, Wanda.
That's fine.
I've got a play that we wrote, and I've been blessed to. Wow, just amazing. I want to share something about you because this isn't about me. I have to redirect myself like I do our listeners at the beginning of the show, not to get into our own personal stories because it's so easy. But because tonight's all about Dr. Wanda McKinley, and I do want to encourage our listeners out there to, if you want to call in, we would absolutely love to have you on the air with us. The call in number 646-595-2118. Again, the number 646-595-2118. We do have about a half an hour left of the show. No, it seems like an hour and a half is a long time when we start, and then we get rolling, and next thing you know, we're wrapping up. But again, we look forward to you calling. We do have two listeners tonight that have called in that are still listening on the show through the line, through the call-in line. I applaud both of you. As a matter of fact, Wanda, my co-host Penelope actually has a special message for you from one of those two listeners who's not ready to come on air yet. So I'm going to be bringing Penelope on shortly so she can share that message with you. I'm very excited that that's happening. God is utilizing you and this show to bring healing, and I truly believe that. So if anyone's out there listening and they want to call in, we definitely invite you, 646-595-2118. Powerful stuff. I mean, and here's what else I want to share. So this is directly from, I'm on Wanda R.W. McKinley with Roar. I love this. I'm going to say, with your permission, this is your work. I don't want to step on your toes. Wanda, may I share with what Roar, the acronym, stands for with you?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. Well, here it is, folks. Are you ready to roar? Because I'll tell you what, I am when I got done reading this. The R in Roar stands for regain who you are. The O stands for overcome the abuse. The A stands for achieve your self-esteem. And the R, reborn as a child of God. Man, that just makes me want to get out my old lion mane and give out a big old roar. Wow. Powerful stuff. That is just, when I read that, I actually shared it on my Facebook page already because I was so excited about it. But powerful stuff. Oh, wow. Amazing. So, Wanda, I am going to go ahead and get Penelope on here because I know she's got a special message waiting for you. Plus, I'm sure she might want to have some things. Pamela, I truly appreciate your patience a few minutes longer. I want to afford Penelope an opportunity to share this special message from our caller that's not prepared to come on air yet, which is absolutely fine. So, Penelope, you are live on air.
Oh, thank you, Charlie, and hi again, Wanda. And I've been just hanging on to every word that you've been saying. And I did check in with our two panel members that are listening in. And one, Thomasine Wren, she gave permission to use her name. She's a NASCA member, and she's actually been on the show and had the courage as well to tell her story, which I know aligns a lot with yours. And so she, you know, has had the courage to do that as well. She wanted me to pass on to you just how much she appreciates, is inspired, and just heartfelt thanks for having the courage to come on and to tell your story. Because it's so powerful, it's so important, although and albeit painful, to tell those stories about what happened in terms of your abuse. It started, I know your earliest recollection was 6 years old and possibly younger. She just really wanted me to pass on her heartfelt, you know, appreciation and gratitude, and also acknowledge your courage. It is, as we listen and we have walked on your shoes, and I shared this, all those emotions come up as well, right? The anger, the hurt, the triggering. And but your voice is also inspiring because it gives us courage to keep, you know, moving forward in our own healing journeys and our own work of advocating for children. and advocating for prevention of what happened. So she wanted me to pass that on to you and so that I could use her name, which I really do appreciate. So there's the message. I added a couple of my own comments in there, by the way. Because I don't think she articulated it so well. I just wanted to do justice to what she said. And just because it's emotional for me, I also, you mentioned dissociating. I still go in and out, right? Especially when I'm triggered or it's emotional. So sometimes I hear every two of three words. So I believe that I capture the essence of what she said. But, you know, you mentioned about dissociating during the abuse and actually floating above your body and looking down. And isn't it amazing the capacity that you had to survive what you survived? I mean, I think when we're in an environment where, and you said it, you know, the two men that were supposed to love and protect you, right? Protection. I mean, safety, security. This is what our caregivers, this is what they're supposed to do. This is the law. They're bound to these, you know, guardrails for us as children. And when you are living in an environment, you're a child, you can't go out and get a job and support yourself. I mean, you're just, you're there. You're living in this hell and you can't support yourself. You have to find a way to survive. And when you mention that dissociation, I mean, to me, it's, I know we talk a lot about dissociation, on the show with other guests, and it's, thank you for sharing that, because I think people think, oh my gosh, you know, it's almost like when you dissociate, you wonder, did it really happen? Because I saw it, I was there, but I didn't really go through all the emotions, right?
Exactly.
I didn't really feel it, right? You second guess it. And I think the more you can share, right, that you just shared that experience that you had, because I think it's so easy to talk yourself out of what the truth is, right? Because it's such a horrible thing, even as adults, to wrap your brain around.
Right.
So I appreciate, you know, you sharing that. And it makes me, for me personally, you know, makes me feel more normal, you know, that, okay, I did that too. Like, I'm not the only one that, like, left their body and looked down on the scene and could just see it happening.
Yeah.
People can't understand when I say I went numb, like I could,
you know,
beyond the first, you know, punch or beyond the first hurt, I didn't feel anything afterwards. I mean, as it was continuing. My question is, did you experience any of those? I know we can experience, I mean, for me, dissociation is like peeling back an onion. Some of it is, you know, you go in, like, if you had amnesia or you couldn't remember, you can finally, like, speak. So speaking the truth, remembering the facts is one thing. Actually feeling the emotions around the stated truth is another. Feeling the physical sensation is another. I'm just wondering if you through your dissociation, if you ever felt the effects of any of those things after the fact, whether it was, you know, right after or years after.
I did right, what is this now, 6 years? About 7 years ago when God came to me and told me my purpose in life was to be transparent. That evening is when he allowed me to feel what he protected me from when I was in a disassociation state and couldn't feel, you know, none of that. I felt it. So for me now, and I think that was necessary because I can't have empathy if I don't know what you really feel. When someone loses, like, your mom, and someone says, I know how you feel. Well, if your mom is alive, no, you really don't know how that feels. So just even when, in our situation, okay, I was raped, you can't tell me you know how that feels unless you've been raped. So I think for me, at that moment, guys, like, I need you to be able to feel what I protected you from so that you can help others. And that's why I went to school to study the mind and psychology and to be able to become a therapist, because my goal was I needed to be able to relate. to my clients, because when the first episode of my dad, did they take me to therapy? Yes. But the only thing I can remember from therapy was the two infamous dolls, the girl doll and the boy doll. And they would say, okay, show me with the dolls what happened to you. That is the only thing I remember. So for me, it was important to be able to help others and let them know that they're not alone, and be able to not only help them from book knowledge, but from personal knowledge, because experience is life's best teacher. I don't care what nobody says. Someone that has gone to school and is a therapist and has never, ever, ever in their life experienced any abuse, you can tell me and use theories that I've learned myself, but if you can apply a little bit more of an understanding to the theory that you pick, it goes a lot further. I've helped so many people because without revealing my truth, I can help them from my truth. So it's necessary, I think, for us to be able to feel something when it comes to what we've gone through.
I totally understand what you're saying. I call myself a wounded healer. Like, you're a wounded healer because you've been wounded in that way, and you're a healer as well. But you talk the talk and you walk the walk, you know. And that's, you know, unfortunately, nothing's beautiful about abuse. But you're bringing something good out of something so bad, because you've literally lived and felt all those emotions, and you're able to, like you said, apply that and really, you know, help your clients in a meaningful way. So thank you.
Thank you for the platform that you all have allowed it for us to be able to talk and share, because, like I said, the most important thing is to let people know that they are not alone. Even if they're still in that situation, it gives them hope that they can come out of it one day. And that's just my thing. Even when I'm speaking, I tell people to stop asking folks, why are you still there? Or stop saying that couldn't be me, because you don't know what you would do unless you're faced with that situation. So I think being able to hear us, like, okay, I was there, I understand, that gives them that little sunshine, ray of hope, like, I too can get through this. I too can beat this. Even if it's not today, it could be tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I do want to get over to Pamela. She has been patiently waiting for a while. I truly appreciate you being here this evening, Penelope, and we'll get back to you on the next round with the panel. Thank you so much. What amazing input and insight she has, huh, Wanda? Just incredible.
Yes, amazing.
Pamela, who again is from Louisiana, she's our ambassador from Alabama, is back on. Pamela, thank you so very much, first of all, for your patience in waiting so long. One thing I learned a long time ago when I was praying to God, somebody said, don't pray for patience because he's going to make sure you get it. And after I prayed for it, I wished I had met patients as a doctor so that I can make money off my patients. But anyway, thank you so much. Because I thought, when you have that patience, he can test you. Go ahead, sis. Do your thing, Pamela.
Okay. Well, I wanted to talk to you, Charlie, for a minute. That time that you came up with transcended, it made me look it up, and it says to rise above and beyond ordinary limits. To rise above and beyond. Yeah, to rise above and beyond ordinary limits. And that's what God has done for us, you know, through keeping us alive, right? And to me, there's no other way to stay alive but through Him and Him healing us. I know that I would have been a blithering idiot in locked up if I. And I wanted to ask you a question. What do you see happening in the future because of COVID with our stories? I mean, I think because everybody's at home and nothing to do, I think that this is a prime time for people to say, what do I need to know? What do I need to get into? You know, I think it's a prime time for God to bring our voices forth. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people
are
too busy. A lot of people were too busy and, you know, going here and there, doing this and that. I mean, even the kids can't go anywhere. I mean, this is, God has totally slowed our lives down to a crawl. So I wanted to hear what you had to say, Wanda.
Wanda, real quick, I just want you to hold that thought real quick, because I want to go back to something that I want to get your input on something that Pamela brought up at the outset of her coming on tonight. Right now, I mean, just on this segment, where it was, you know, I wanted to answer her in my way, but this isn't my night, it's yours. When I hear someone say, God did it and God does it, what is your take on that, Wanda?
Then they say God did it.
Yeah. Maybe I should framework it a little more. Here's what I'm saying. I'll just share what I'm. I don't want to put you. I know you have something to share. I don't want to get you lost in your thought there. My thing is when I used to say that same thing. God, you did it. God, you did it. You know, thank you, God. And God one day sat me down and said, Charlie, if you didn't work that field, if you didn't go through that stuff, if you didn't plant those crops, if you didn't water them, if you didn't fertilize them, I wouldn't have been able to do what I did because I gave you free will. So it's okay for us. It's okay for you, Wanda. It's okay for you, Pamela. It's okay for anybody out there that's listening. And it's okay for those who don't have a faith in God, whoever, whatever you believe in. It's okay to say, hey, I did this part of doing this, because had we not done our part, as powerful as God is, we couldn't have gotten done. What was been done in our lives in those areas wouldn't have gotten done without our ability to allow it to happen. So I just wanted to say that, you know, all glory and honor goes to God, but we deserve to say, hey, we had a large part in doing that because of the decisions we made. Thank you so much, Wanda. I didn't mean to take up so much of your time and Pam's time. I just really, it was in my heart to get that out. The Holy Spirit was really tugging on me.
I totally agree. He gives us common sense, too. And yes, he'll give us the tools, but it's up to us. And a lot of times, God's waiting on us to make the next move. So I totally agree with that. And right now, with being a voice and talking and being more out there per social media and virtual life because of COVID, because right now, domestic violence, the numbers have skyrocketed because everyone is at home and everyone is trapped and getting cabin fever and frustrated and not working. And so a lot of us, we have been trying to brainstorm, because here's the thing. I love Facebook because it has connected me to a lot of wonderful people. But my goal is to be bigger than Facebook, okay, to get past social media. And that's why my TV show, which will be on Roku soon, is extremely important to me, because I need to reach the masses. And there are some victims and survivors that are not on social media. A lot of them can't have phones because their abusers don't want them to have any type of contact outside of the house. So how do you reach those? There are a lot of individuals like that. So it's just trying to find different ways of reaching people outside of social media. So we're always brainstorming, and that's why the TV show is such a blessing. And I've also been offered another TV show to also be on Roku, and I, of course, focus it on going to call it surviving life. And it's just different ways to let people know that there are people out there. Even coming up with different ways of having alert systems. So I know for me, I'm always thinking outside the box to try and help someone in a situation that may not have the amenities like a smartphone that we have, but they have television.
It's Wanda.
You know?
Can I interrupt for a minute? This is Pamela.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Somebody called me the other day, because I'm older, I'm 63, about having an alert button, you know, like how the elderly have them in case they fall or something.
Yeah.
Seems like we could have something that to get, like, say a woman is able to just get a message to somebody. I need an alert system. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that connects them with the police. So we could do something like that even, you know?
And here's the thing, even with the alert, I've thought about that, but I've taken it a little bit further than that.
Okay.
It has to be something that's like a lipstick, something that the perpetrator would not think of, a flower on a table, something that a person could get to. So that means you would need to have more than one, because if you're in your car, it would have to be something that a person would not think that it's what it is.
Right.
Because you can't have an alert, you know, the alert buttons, they wear around their necks or on their arms. We're literally talking about something.
No, we'd have to hide it. We'd have to have it hidden.
Yeah. It would have to be in something that someone wouldn't know what it was.
But
like
I thought about
heel.
That as well. Mm-hmm. I
you
thought about that as well.
You could put it in a shoe heel. You could put it in a shoe heel. You know?
Yes.
In other words, women love shoes. They could go buy a pair of shoes with it in there. We need to make some shoes with an alert button in it.
Yeah, that would be great for me because I have like almost 400 pairs of shoes myself.
How many? How many shoes?
I have almost 400.
Whoa, girl!
Well, here's the thing. When I was married to my husband, he also controlled the money. So when I would get paid, I would have to give him my whole check, and I would have to ask permission and money to even buy a pack of gum. So when I left that situation and got to keep my money, I love shoes. So I buy shoes. I just buy shoes. I just love shoes. But there was a point in time when I couldn't buy anything with my money, and he wasn't even working.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm just excited for
it. That's it for me. Thank you, Wanda, for answering my question.
You're welcome.
And Pamela, thank you so much for calling in this evening. Thank you for your support and everything you do for NAFCA and for for God in His name out there in the world, both you and your husband. I had a great early morning conversation with Pamela and her husband the other day. What a blessing that was. And we got to wrap it up with prayer. I'm going to go ahead and mute your mic, Pamela. Wanda, we are down to, let me take a quick look at my clock here. We got about a little over 7 minutes left. I do have Penelope checking on our listeners to see if they may want to come on and give a few words. And if they don't, that's okay. I want to give you the next 3 or 4 minutes just to share whatever it is on your heart. I know we didn't get into a lot of the other stuff, but We Are Survivors Foundation, we need you on another show. Matter of fact, we need to be talking about possibly having you come on and maybe be in once a month or special, we have a guest speaker show where someone like you is our professional comes on and people call in randomly with questions and concerns. I could see you doing that if that would be something you'd be led to do. But just share with us what you will for the next few minutes, please.
Well, one thing that I thought of is we have a We Are Survivors Empowerment visual journal. It is on Amazon. And with that empowerment journal, it has 60 original quotes, motivational quotes, as well as an area to journal or draw. Because one thing that I do know about the mind is we process information totally differently. So I provided a workbook where people can jot down their thoughts, or if you're an artistic person and you prefer to draw or cut and paste, there are pages within this journal that you can do that. And it just allows people who are having a bad day and need some motivation. That book is a great tool to do that. We Are Survivors. We are also getting ready to, hopefully with COVID being gone, we have a mother-daughter retreat.
And what this mother and daughter retreat focuses on is more their relationships. Because of my mother and daughter relationship was so strained, actually kind of more like non-existent, it's something that's dear to my heart. And me being a mother and have a daughter, I went the total opposite, where I poured myself into my child. I physically, and this is going to confuse some people who heard my story, but I left home when I was 15 years old. So if you left home at 15, how can your stepfather and your biological father still raise you until you were 18? And I've gotten that question a whole lot. But for me, everything that I do now is because of what I've gone through and what I've experienced. So I always try to think of someone that is in that particular situation. And when I was a teenager, going through what I went through, going through my stepfather raping me and my mom beating me, to me, life on the streets were better. I was blessed to have someone take me in till I graduated at 16 from high school. But I was just so determined to make a difference in myself so that I wouldn't spill over my anger and hurt into my child. But we as survivors, we focus on helping when we speak at high schools. Like, we have partnerships with high schools here in Dallas County where we go speak and do workshops. We're just always trying to think of ways to get the word out and to help people heal, however that may be, whatever that may look like. And when I went to a high school that was really focused on criminal justice. And I can remember, as I'm talking to these students, I'm scanning the audience. And I can remember this one young child that kept looking out the window. Well, the shade was pulled down. Mm-hmm. So immediately I could feel her pain. And I think as soon as I connected with her, she jumped up and ran out of the room. I totally forgot that I was there on a speaking engagement, and I chased her. But it's just like it's so much hurt out here in the world that the more we talk about it, the more that we're on the airwaves, whether it's television, radio, the more we can actually help someone. And that moment when I caught that baby and talked to her, her male teacher, from listening to me talk and listening to her cry, he broke down and started crying because he had never admitted to himself out loud about the child abuse he had gone through. This was her teacher. Wow. She had a grown man on one shoulder and a child on the other shoulder. And those types of stories happen all the time.
Yes, and that's an important thing to bring up as well. As a male overcomer, transcender of my abuse, and knowing grown men. Wow, we're already down to 90 seconds. That was quick. All right. Well,
oh,
I don't want to share that, but yeah, I know time flies. We can still go over a little, and I think we are going to go over. That's not going to just cut us off, but I do want to let our listening audience know that the show will cut off exactly at the 30 mark of the hour. We will continue to tape. We can continue to tape. Just if you want to come back and listen, it'll be archived and up within about half an hour after the show, and you'll be able to catch the part that we're going to. Wanda, I don't want you to feel cut off. We can continue to talk. We have a little more time. I was saying that, I even learned, I didn't realize that even a grown man, a 49-year-old grown man to be exact, could be manipulated and sexually assaulted until I was near my 50s. And what it was actually my biological father who shared with me an event that happened with him. And that opened my eyes up to a whole new world that I hadn't even thought about. He was sexually molested by his dentist while under anesthesia. And subsequently for the next 25 years of his life, systematically and it's so important that, yes, the majority of abuse and domestic violence in the home is the woman, but there are men out there like myself and others that have overcome this. And I'm on your website. What a powerful website you have. I'm sorry, I just had to jump in there and say that. I'm going to let you continue. And I know that Penelope, just to give you a heads up, Penelope did go back and listen, go back to our, oh, did we lose her? Oh, no, Wanda's still here. Okay. Penelope, I'm
here.
Sorry, Wanda. I'm looking like, okay. One of our call-ins that we're listening tonight, the other one actually, has a special message for you now. So I'm going to go ahead and get the mic over to Penelope and then to Pamela, and we're going to give you some time to get some more final words to close out the show here in a little bit. Please don't feel pressured on time. We're okay with that. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Penelope. You're back on air with Wanda.
Oh, thank you, Charlie, and you know, Wanda, you've just, even with our two callers listening, and your story has just really touched so many people and inspired so many people. And I wanted to, I did want to pass on our other caller who was listening in on the panel, wanted me to share, and I know we are low on time, so I won't go into too much detail, but he's also a very spiritual person, and from the Bible, wanted me to share in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verses 25 through 27, it does address sexual abuse. So he wanted me to pass on where to find that verse, and he felt it was very appropriate for what you had shared this evening, and he was also very appreciative of your courage of what you shared this evening, especially with respect to the sexual abuse from your childhood on. So I wanted to pass that on.
Sure. Real quick, what was that again? Deuteronomy what?
Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 27.
I don't want anyone to feel rushed. And if God has a message that needs to be gotten out in my world, and it sounds like on some other worlds on the show, God's world timing is what I run through. So I'm going to take a moment, if it's okay with you, Penelope and Wanda, to read those verses.
Yes, do.
Okay. And I want to say thank you so much to our listener who tonight called in, not only listened, paid attention, but is sharing this. So this is in encouragement and empowerment to our listeners who wanted to have this shared tonight. So Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 25 through 27. I will be reading from the New International Version. That just happens to be the one I have in front of me at the moment. So here it goes. But if out in the country a man happens to meet a young woman pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman. She has committed no sin, deserving death. This case is like that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbor. For the man found the young woman out in the country, and though the betrothed woman screamed, there was no one to rescue her. Wow, I just got bumped up and down my spine.
Wow. Wow.
Powerful. Powerful. And I'm not going to say your name because I don't know that we have permission to do that, but that listener right now who's still here with us, I see you still in the panel. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes,
let me say it one more time. Thank you. Wanda,
yeah.
Go ahead. And I'm quiet now.
Wow. It's just an honor. Yeah, I know we have run over time, but it's just an honor. And I hope this is not my last time because I really appreciate the fact that you all are changing lives and that people are tuning in and they are listening, because it is so important that we keep doing what we're doing and make sure that every word that we say is something meaningful. Because people, I say, there's some people who have a gift of gab. You can talk, and because you're fast talking, to some people it makes a lot of sense, and or they just act like they just understood what you're saying. But when you're saying things that resonate with people and touches hearts, that's powerful. That's God. That is God using us. And I just want to be used. That was one thing we said earlier, be careful what you pray for. And I can remember in church, and it was for 5 years. For 5 years, I said, God, use me. Use me as you see fit. I had no idea he was going to do what he did. But I prayed for it. I asked for it. So I just, it's 5 years. I know I prayed 5 years for God to use me. And when he answered, I had to come running. And I'm saying, too, on this platform, I'm willing to be used to make a difference. I just appreciate that you all invited me. I really have enjoyed speaking because I thought to myself, an hour and a half, whew, that's a long time. But when you get to talking and when you're sharing your testimony and others are chiming in and also listening and having input, it does. The time goes by really fast. We even went over 90 minutes. So I just appreciate it. Thank you.
It's all about collaboration and interaction. And I did fire up Pamela's mic. I want to give each of us who's on this panel this evening an opportunity to give our fond farewell and parting words to Wanda. So we're going to start that off with Pamela. Hello, Pamela. Do you have us queued up?
Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for – I'm going to be Pamela.
I'm here. Charlotte, it's Pamela.
Okay, I just want to say we're going to have to show up, so I wanted to give you some fond farewells to our special guest, Dr. Wanda McKinley.
Dr. Wanda, just want to tell you we're with you, we're watching you, we're going to see great things, I'm sure, and we're going to – I need to talk to you about what Charlie said earlier. If you'd like to be a co-host on Tuesday or Thursday, and you will be the pretty much running the show and helping other people that call in stay on topic and everything.
Okay, yes, I would love to talk more about that. That sounds like an awesome opportunity.
Okay,
I will facilitate lining the two of you up on to Facebook Messenger after the show.
Okay.
Anything else, sis?
Oh, no. Just good night. Have a good night, Wanda.
You too.
Pamela, thank you so much for calling in this evening. Thank you so much for calling in this evening, Pamela.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pamela, thank you so much for calling in this evening and everything you do for NASCA, for your community, and most importantly, for the kingdom of God. Next, I'm going to ask Penelope to give her fond farewell.
Well, thank you, Charlie, and I've never done this before, but I'm also a certified yoga instructor. So I wish to say to Wanda and to all those listening who have been inspired or walked in these institutes, namaste, which means the light and love in me acknowledges and honors the light and love in you. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for everything that you do, Wanda.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Penelope. And once again, what an amazing, wonderful, it's not a job, it's a labor of love what we do. For the labor of love and what you put into the show tonight, Penelope, I truly appreciate you and you handled our guests, our listeners, our callers who are just listening. What an amazing co-host and what an amazing gift to you. And I love you so much.
Thank you, Charles.
My newest sister, man, I'll tell you what, I didn't grow up much of a family, but every time I'm on another one of these blog talk radio shows with NASCA, I get another family member, might be a brother or sister. So I know tonight God has led me into his throne room to meet and introduce myself, you and I, to the latest addition to my family, and that's you. And I'm grateful and humbly honored that he would allow that for such a time as this. And no, we didn't order what happened to us, and neither did God. He didn't want any of us to go through what we went through. But God took what we went through and laid out a plan for us that we chose to follow, and here we are today. So thank you so much, Wanda.
Yes, thank you.
How about for you? Anything, any last-minute words you want to say before I wrap out the show?
I just want to thank, once again, thank you for the opportunity. And I truly appreciate all that you all are doing, because it does, it makes a difference in someone's life. So thank you.
You're very welcome, and thank you. I want to end the show tonight with this. So some words from Wanda. Maybe that's something we're supposed to put together, but it says here, Wanda, and I think all of us in this arena want to empower men and women so they can and will survive and thrive in society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them a new life, a new perspective of normalcy by enhancing and elevating their lives. Wow, what a wonderful way to end the show. Folks, my name is Charlie Stecker. I am blessed this evening to be your host. As I close out each one of my shows, I remind all of us that are listening both now and into the future, the only adult that is not responsible for child abuse intervention and or prevention is any adult that was never a child. Good night, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.